This is the E-Square Podcast recording live from the Junction Complex. You are now making a worldwide connection.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to the E-Square Podcast. Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. Follow me on all social medias at EZMo91. But today we have a very, 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 very important guest. In my opinion, he's one of the most talented all-around artists that has ever came out of Las Vegas. I'm super excited to have this guy. So everybody give it up for Euros. Let's go. Podcast, man. I'm Easy Mo. Today we got the man, the myth, the legend in the flesh. Yo, Vegas is very own. Euros, what's good, bro?
That's love, man.
Yes, sir. Should we?
I just grabbed this. Yeah. I was like, damn. Should I wait for him?
No, nah, we're good. Doing? No, let's do it right now.
I can smell it. It's gasoline.
It's gas. Yeah. Just come on, just take it, man. Okay. Cheers, bro. Cheers. To you, man. Yes, sir.
To your podcast, man. To you having me on.
Thank you, bro. Thank you. Ooh, yeah. I needed that.
That was cool. That wasn't mixed with nothing?
No, that's straight 1800.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think that was the first time I had 1800.
For real?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's kind of smooth.
Yeah, I like. Yeah, it's the Reposado. It's fire.
You know, I'm a dark myself. But the clear is.
Yeah, I can't believe all these liquor stores are out of fucking Hennessy.
I mean, I would expect them to be on this side of town.
Bro, well, I guess it's New Year's, but yeah. they had the big boy. They only had the big boys for sale.
Okay.
And I was like,
it's
not that serious.
Nah, it's not.
Yeah, I needed that shot, man, because I'm going to be honest, I was kind of nervous, bro. I was looking forward to this, bro.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Nah, for real, because I got the same feeling that, and all respect to all my other guests, but I got the same feeling when I had P-Fire and Rugerico on here and Two Realists on here. Mm-hmm. And it's just because, like, you know, you guys have been part of my life for so long. You know what I mean? Because I'm born and raised here. Yeah. And it's weird to have people like you guys, like you and Two Realists to come and fuck with me on my show.
Come on now.
You know what I'm saying? It's a beautiful thing. You know what I mean?
So. That's absolute. That's, I appreciate that. That's love.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of told myself that I was going to do stuff like this more often. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, kind of.
You're kind of a recluse, huh?
Yes and no. I just don't be doing the extra shit though. Like, mm-hmm. if it's like even before, like when 2020 started, I had big plans of hitting the road and all type of shit. And, you know, this has been a crazy year. A lot of shit was put on hold, changes, all type of shit.
It sucks. It fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Well, shout out to P-Fire real quick for the alley-oop.
Oh, yeah,
for connecting us, yeah.
My nigga Fire.
For sure.
Yeah.
So what's up, man? What have you been up to, bro? Like, how's quarantine been treating you? I see you riding your bike a lot.
Bike. I actually got that in quarantine. It was a hassle because everything was through the roof, like, mm-hmm. the weights, everything. Yeah. So I'm just thinking, like, damn, I ain't gonna lie though. It was already what I was already on. It just made me just turn it up a little bit because I already kind of live quarantine.
Yeah.
To be honest. So it was kind of like, okay, cool. I guess the world is on the same page now. Like, they forced to kind of, so that's, but like everybody, I feel like I had my negatives,
mm-hmm.
ebbs and flows, you know, ups and downs. It was. Mm-hmm.
I think it was like a blessing in disguise, for real.
For
like,
sure.
You know, like, a lot of people just got to not mentally relax because of, you know, like, we don't know what's going on, but like physically just kind of take a break. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
And kind of be out of control in a sense. Like you can't do nothing. You just gotta sit down. You know, I needed the break because I worked my ass off. You know, I have two jobs, three jobs. You know, I'm that guy. You know. And so I needed it for sure. But I just got a bike, bro. You know what I'm saying? So
okay.
Yeah, I just got a bike, bro. That bike life is dope, bro.
It really is. Yeah. It's so for me, it's the my heavy bag, and I be training my son with the basketball. Mm. That's like, that's my conditioning moments, for, because I smoke heavy, so.
Yeah.
I be,
Yeah, you got to balance that out.
Exactly. Yeah.
So when you've always been into fitness? You've always been like, you, bro, even looking back on your old videos and stuff, bro, you look like a middle linebacker, bro.
You know what's so funny, though? Like, anybody, like, growing up, I was little, bro. I hit a growth spurt, like.
Damn.
Like, from 19 to 20.
That late?
Yeah, late. Crazy, bro, late. Crazy.
Like, damn, I'm still waiting on mine, bro. Fuck.
Yeah. I hit, like, a little growth spurt, so. Yeah. That was.
You was a little dude in high school?
I wasn't. Nah, I mean, like, freshman year, I was probably, like, 5'7", 5'8".
Whoa.
Yeah, I wasn't crazy tall.
He was my height.
Yeah, like, junior year, I think I was, like, 5'10".
Mm.
And then, like, yeah, 6 foot. I remember I got locked up when I was, like, 6 foot tall.
Yeah.
Like, on my mugshot and my scope, they give you all of that. I was 6 feet tall. Like,
you look taller than that, though.
Yeah, I'm, like, 6'2".
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, I got locked up. And, yeah, when I got out, I was, you know, I was kind of, I had filled out, you type shit. Yeah, so.
Burpees and shit.
All that. Yeah. I had the regimen, you know, was locked in. So.
Well, yeah, let's start there then, because this is what I was talking about with two realists when I was talking to them, and your name came up. I was like, bro, his music is like impeccable. It's superb, bro. But I don't know nothing. I don't know nothing about him.
Right, you know what I mean?
Like,
right.
And then as I'm preparing for this interview, I'm like, I only know what you give us in the music, really.
Right, you know what I mean?
And I was looking for old interviews, and, you know, I found a couple, but I was like, he don't even do interviews, really.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And again, I'm humbled that you came and fucked with me for that again, for sure.
Appreciate you having me.
But, yeah, let's start at the upbringing, bro, because, you know, you're a West Side baby.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, okay, so I was born in Seattle. But I was raised in Vegas, so elementary up.
I was raised
West Side. I've never lived nowhere else but the West Side.
Okay.
And then what you say? You said about the
your upbringing, like so.
Yeah, I mean West. I'm West Side. Yeah. Shit. So,
what high school did you go to?
Western.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I went to Gibson. Sure.
Gibson. My little sister
school.
Went there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean.
Yeah. So how was it? So what was your family life like growing up? And.
You
know, your childhood, was it regular childhood or?
Single parent home, moms. Okay. She worked a couple jobs, you know what I mean? I ran the streets type shit, you know.
What about your dad?
Me and my dad, we was cool. He was locked up type shit, but we was cool. There was actual communication between us, like, I guess, like you say, when I was like 8, 9.
He was locked up?
We was just like communicating, you know, he was out, but like, that was like my last remember talking to him. And then when I got out, you know, we had conversations and shit, we seen each other, but.
Does he live here?
I don't know.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
You still to this day don't really keep in touch with him?
Nah, not really. I talked to his brother, my uncle. Yeah, we're close.
How has that affected you? You feel like now looking in hindsight, as an adult, how do you feel like that affected your childhood?
You know what's so crazy? I've always, that's probably the answer I haven't gotten yet. You know, because when I look at my life, I think there was a lot of moments, especially raising my son, I'm like, damn.
Right.
I could have prevented a lot. You know what I mean? A lot of shit could have been prevented with a father figure. But I just feel like I didn't turn out like I'm not a bad father, or you know what I mean? Like I don't feel like it was it changed me for the worse. I feel like if anything, it just kind of put in perspective what I'm not gonna be.
Yeah.
And that was it. Mm-hmm. I mean. Yeah, but I don't think it ever affected me in a negative way. At least it's not obvious to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Maybe it's something that in another aspect of my life that I'm not, you know, that I haven't addressed, but I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because so you weren't that kid like you know, like mad lashing out or mad because your pop wasn't there?
No, bro, like I be seeing that shit. I be like, bro, don't get me wrong. Like, I do have moments where, like when my son was born, I kind of did like kind of, because me and my pops was kind of cool. He was kind of getting back cool. When he was born, I was just like, just seeing how hard it was for me and his mom, it was like, damn, my mom had to go through this dolo? Oh, yeah, you can't. Yeah,
yeah, you kind of lost respect.
Yeah. And it kind of like made us, it kind of like created this like distance, you know what I mean? And so when I move, I didn't tell him I move or, you know, new numbers, you know, it just was whatever type shit. If you get in contact with me, you get in contact with me.
Yeah.
And then, so that kind of pushed me and his brother, my uncle, to kind of get cool type shit, so.
Damn, that's crazy, man. Yeah, I mean, a lot of us don't have our fathers or the ideal relationship with our father, you know? Like,
right.
I never met my biological father.
Right.
And, you know, I had a father figure, but it always fucked with me a little bit, you know? With my,
it kind of,
you know, looking back, it put me through some identity crisis, like,
because
I didn't know where I came from, you know what I mean?
So I feel it.
There was, you know, I try to break it. I try to just block it out because it don't even matter now. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, but I don't know, bro. So I like to get those kind of feedbacks to help myself too.
Right.
But yeah, man. So you got locked up at a young age.
Yeah, I got locked up at 18. I got out when I was 22. So
4 years, huh?
Yeah.
High desert,
Indian Springs, NSP. Yeah. Pretty much every yard, bro. Like, every yard.
Yeah, when you're 18, huh?
Yeah. Ely. But I was only in Ely for a little bit.
Okay.
Transitioning, going to
that's Max
yard.
Up there, right?
Yeah. I it was crazy because I had a couple partners up there that I could not wait to see, and I got to send a couple kites, you know what I mean? Because it's hard, bro, like, to even, they're so strict. Like, letters, none of that. You can't piggyback. It's they on it like that.
But
I've been up pretty much every year. I ain't proud to talk about it. It's nothing to talk about it, but it ain't nothing I brag about. That's why it's not just all of my music. I touch on it, but it ain't nothing that I want to be, like, get points off of.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
You're not trying
like,
to glorify
it. Nah, I'm not glorifying it. I just shed light on some shit.
No, that's why the fact that you don't go down that route in your music makes me appreciate it even more. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, you could pull that card and, you know, do that and, you know, but you're staying true to yourself in your music that way. You know what I mean?
Right.
So as a listener, I appreciate it. You know what I mean? It makes me even more interested and who you are.
Appreciate it, man.
But what was that experience like, though? Like, going in at 18, like, emotionally, mentally?
You know what, bro? It's crazy as it's going to sound. It didn't hit me at the time. I was just more excited to go see my niggas.
Really?
Yes. I was like, what yard am I going to be on? Because I know if I hit the desert, I got such and such and such and such. They on level 3. I'm going to be, if I go to Indian Springs, I got, you know what I mean? That's how I was looking at it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, damn. But I ain't gonna lie though, at sentencing, it did kind of hit me after, like when I knew how much time I had to do. Like, because he didn't even go with what the DA was saying. Like, the DA wasn't arguing or nothing, but he was just like reading everything. He was like, you getting a cool little.
Yeah. What was the charges?
Well, it was robberies, you know what I mean? But they couldn't really, you know, there was no real, just the robberies didn't stick, you know what I mean? And that's what he was bringing up. I was like, bro, I didn't get convicted for no robbery. He was like, it don't matter. Yeah. There's a consistent, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
no matter if you ain't getting convicted for it, you're still getting arrested for it. You know,
there's
robberies, there's firearms, there's, you know, you just getting, you're just pleading to the things that you're guilty, caught for, you know, the possession of stolen vehicle, unregistered firearm.
Uh-huh.
So I had got put on probation for unregistered, it was just two pistols and a possession of stolen vehicle. So
something light,
you know what I mean?
Something light.
I'm just saying, like, when you look at, you know, look at my life, man, I was kind of happy.
You being young and shit.
Yeah, I was more happy that I got hit for some shit like that.
I was just
like, all right, if I got to go away for 2 or 3 of them, it's cool. Because I had, bro, like, when I say, like, all my niggas, like, my day ones, my bros, you know, they got, like, L's.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there ain't no daylight, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Unless, like, they get some crazy news on an appeal, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? So, like, to get my time, it was just like, shh, all right. All right, that's cool, you know, I'll take that. And I just knew how, in my mind at least, how I was going to do my time, right. You know what I mean? Working out, I'm going to get blasted, mm-hmm. super tatted, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, I'm going get to see a lot of partners that I didn't see, like, that was locked up years before me, that mm-hmm. I hadn't seen in since middle school type shit.
Damn. You know what I mean?
So it was like, that's all, that's my mentality until I got like 2-3 years in, you mm-hmm. like, ugh.
Yeah, start losing patience.
Like, yeah, nah, this ain't it.
Were you reading a lot?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was reading a lot. But honestly, bro, that's just where I developed the writing. I mean, I could always write.
Yeah.
And I stopped telling people like I started making music at like 2012. That was when I put out music and right. I made it in my mind that I was gonna pursue this shit as an artist. But yeah. I think through my life, I was, even if it was a subconscious thing, I was preparing myself to be an artist, whether it was just I could freestyle well at school.
Yeah.
I was like downloading beats from LimeWire.
LimeWire.
You know, just listening, literally driving to beats, nigga, yeah. not recording them, nothing. Just
said your mom rapped too,
just,
huh?
Yeah, my mom rapped. So, yeah. And that's another thing, just growing up, and my step pops, you know, and it sucks because he was really present, mm-hmm. but I think he just knew wasn't nothing he could really do type shit. I was already older, and it was just like he just gave me my space type shit. But we had our times where we butted heads too.
Yeah.
So, but I do want to give him his credit because he was present. You know what I mean? It wasn't like a nigga just was no father figure, but like I was really fathered by the streets type shit. It just was far gone type shit. But he did music too, so. I seen him do the independent shit like my whole life, and it's crazy. I just realized probably like last month that he's been instrumental, you know? Yeah. And he probably doesn't even know that. I never even told him that. Like had a conversation with him like about that. But
in what way?
Just seeing how independent he is, I'm the same way. Yeah. I'm the same way. Even when I used to in my mind, like, see how he did shit, I'd be like, man, I would do it this way if I was doing it. You know what I mean? But I'm the same way in just terms of he's just independent. You know, he records himself. Mm. He does all of that. Like, you know, he was super with it, though. He was pressing up his own CDs, shirts.
Yeah.
But I'm, like, in the shirts, I got my heat press. I'm, like, you know, I'm the same thing. You know what I mean? So, and I just realized that at my age now. It's like, damn. We share a lot of similarities, you know what I mean?
He was learning from him, like, subconsciously.
For sure.
That's dope, man. It's, you know, it's like, it's so crazy to think about your childhood as an adult.
100%.
You know what I mean?
100%.
Especially, like as, you know, even, like, your younger 20s, you're still kind of a kid.
Right.
And now, like, I'm 29. I don't know how old you are, but
22.
Okay, so we're like at that age where we're adults now.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right, 100%.
So that's crazy, but so I'm not trying to stay on the prison topic. You know what I mean?
No, it's
so when you got out, like what? Or you had a bar, bro? You had a bar that you said I mastered the pen. I mastered the pen behind bars. The irony.
I think that was on a podium.
I think that was what?
Expensive thoughts.
For no good
reason. For no good reason.
So you was in there writing, just going crazy.
That's. You know what's so funny? Okay, so. While I was in there, when I knew I was getting sent up, I really started like concentrating on rap shit. I was like, because I got hella felonies. I ain't getting no job.
Okay.
I was just like.
That's logical.
And I had a lot of partners who was like rapping. Trey Mack was rapping in the module. So, you know, it was always there, bro. And like when you locked up, that's all there is. Like you working out, you know. And so I would always like spit for like my cellies or just individuals in the module that I thought was dope. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wasn't just rapping for everybody type shit.
Yeah.
But if I was like, oh, that nigga's nice, we'd end up being cool and be rapping type shit. But, like, that's what started kind of, you know, niggas' reaction. Like, oh, you you sure you don't really, been doing this? I'm like, yeah, okay. So I'm like, you know, I'm kind of getting a confirmation, like, yeah, I'm kind of nice. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, all right. And then I just started really writing songs. And I just started, like, just, I really just was able to develop the pen in the pen. Like, it was like, and
like,
I.
Like, no music to write to or nothing, huh?
Nothing. Well, nah, it would just depends. Like, the only music that I would get is, like, the shit that was on 106. So if there was like, I remember Roger that came out, I was like, well, that'd be hard. So I would rap, I would train myself to BPMs, you know what I mean? Like, and that's, it kind of helped me now, like, as an artist, it's crazy.
Hell yeah.
But like, that's kind of, that was the developmental stage. And then.
It's almost a blessing in disguise then, because.
No, for sure.
Because when you're out, you ain't sitting down and.
Exactly, I'm too busy. I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not. Writing raps on paper. There's no way.
Yeah, hell no.
There's no way. But then when I'm coming in, I'm hearing about niggas on the streets. Now, mind you, before I got locked up, the only niggas I was rapping was like Landlord. This is before Landlord was Landlord.
What year was it?
Pee-wee.
This
was Pee-wee, 06.
Oh, yeah. 06. Damn.
Yeah, 06. So I don't even think like Drew and them was rapping yet.
Nah.
I don't know. I don't think so, right? So 06, when I got locked up, that's what I remember. But when you locked up, you get niggas come in and they telling you who's hot, who's rapping now.
What's
so
going on,
I remember when they were saying Creole and Mook rapping on it. Fly Mook. Yeah. You know, so I'm like, okay, so I'm hearing shit through the phone. So I'm hearing everybody through the phone first. Mm-hmm. Everybody. Mm-hmm. I didn't know SU was Devin for like 3 years.
For real?
Yes.
Damn.
Like, cause I play ball with Devin. So I'm just like, I'm hearing SU.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing bars. And I forgot who my celly was, like, in the fish tank. And fish tank is like right before you get classified to go to the yard. Right. You basically, nigga, you about to go to the yard. They're about to let you out. They pretty much just, you know, you getting your shot, they gonna ask you if you got any enemies on the yard. Mm-hmm. I'm good. All right, let's go. Mm-hmm. So I'm in there, and I'm just, you know, you got little papers, you know, you get a little, when I went to get classified, I had, like, papers, I flipped them shits, I'm writing raps, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, and I'm rapping for my cellies, and, like, they just like, man, you cold. They was like, man, you, like, they used to always bring SU up.
Yeah.
So I'm like, nigga, who is this nigga, right?
He had the
city
on fire,
I'm like, bro, who is this nigga, right? So for the longest, bro, I had no idea they were the same people, bro. Until I got out, pretty much, type shit.
Oh,
like,
man.
Yeah, like, man. I'm like, what? And by that time, he wasn't, like, rapping no more. Like,
I know, man.
It was crazy. It was crazy. Like,
yeah, he had the city on fire, bro. Yeah, and he's still revered to this day as one of the hottest.
For sure.
You know, I had Toxic up here. We talked about it. And I would just love to sit down with SU, bro, and talk with him. But,
for real.
And get it from the horse's mouth. But so SU was like.
Drew.
Yeah.
I was hearing Drew. Like, I remember my nigga played some Drew shit on the phone. I was like, oh, yeah, that nigga hard. You know, and then. Yeah, I remember I got out 2010. There was a lot of people rapping in.
Yeah,
a lot of people rapping.
Yeah.
And I remember just getting out. I wasn't even really thinking about rapping. I just remember just on YouTube surfing, listening, seeing everybody surveying the land.
It was
cool.
Probably a whole new world at that point.
Yeah, it was. I was just catching up and shit. And then
Did you feel like you're institutionalized?
Because
some people come home different.
Bro. In certain ways, in little ways, like.
Cleanliness, he was hella clean.
Yeah, huh? Super clean, you know what I mean? Super clean, like.
I asked that because my brother did a bid when he was 18. He's only a year and a half older than me. He did 3 years, but when he came home, when he went in, he was just an angry kid when he came home.
Right.
He was a full-fledged criminal. Like, he just wasn't the, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he had an aura about him that wasn't.
It really just depends on how you do your time.
Right.
I had my moments where it was fuck everybody.
Mm-hmm.
When I get out, it's fuck everybody.
Right.
All of that. But then, you know.
But you
accountability,
can't.
Man.
Yeah,
you know, accountability. It was nobody's fault but myself while I was there. And you know, it's easy to be like, man, I would be doing this if I was you. Mm-hmm. You know, if you was in here, da da da. But man, it's just, I just had such an immature mindset. You know what I mean?
Right.
And there was times when I was locked up when I was so eager to get out, but I wasn't ready.
Mm.
I really wasn't ready. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm about to, I'm about to make this parole, like, and they dump me, and I'll be hot, like. But it was so needed, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I needed that maturity. I needed that extra time.
Yeah.
I needed that. Like, I really did. It really helped me, especially.
Damn, are you saying the prison system works?
Hey, like, that's what I'm saying. It really depends on you. It really depends on you, man. 100%. Like, you can literally use it as a vacation.
Yeah.
You know, you can use it as a gym. You can use it as college, you know, if you get the right books in. I had subscription. Like, I did my time like like a boss. I mean, I feel like I had my TV. I had every CD player. Yeah. I mean, I had every CD, The Dream, Lil Wayne, Carter 3, like mixtapes. Like, you know, so I'm nigga,
he's
what?
Tuned in still.
Yeah, like, bro, I'm working out when I want to. My visits is lovely. Like, I'm going to Stowe. I'm getting tatted. Like, what is the problem? Like, that's what I'm thinking. Like, you know, and I'm training my mind. I developed a regimen that hasn't left since I left. Mm. It's just, I can't think. Only thing I can think about is my record. You know what I mean? My record. Yeah. You know, but I went a different route that didn't. I don't need it. So it is what it is. So like, but that's just how I did my time. And when I got out, I just was more like. I think the ways I was institutionalized was like making sure the doors is locked. Little shit. Then this shit, like, it's little shit. But nah, overall, I was the same. Like, my mom was even saying that. She was like, it's so crazy. I was scared to look in your eyes when you came home. But same, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
Well, I think American, like, TV has.
Perception, for sure.
Has, like, fucking made it, like, the worst. You know, Scary American Straight.
All these type of movies, for sure. Nah, it goes down. Don't get it twisted.
You came out with your head on your shoulders.
For sure.
So what was the first step, though, as far as music goes?
When I got out, I just, it's funny because, all right, when I got out, I had recorded, like, a project, but it was like on all mixtape shit.
Mm-hmm.
But then it was like, man, when I wrote a lot of this shit, it was to beats that I had like in my head. It was to BPMs. It was to like ideas. It was like I was selling the material short, and I was just like, I'd rather put this shit on actual beats. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like on an actual. So, but it was like the perfect like thing for me because it was like my. It was my rough draft CD, I was listening to it and I was like, damn, I would do this differently now. Damn, I thought I was ready. I wasn't ready, you know, damn, you know, this shit is not ready. So all of that led up to like, I'm tripping. It's a side story. 2010, I got out. I had caught another case.
Oh, no.
It got dismissed.
Okay.
But I had caught a case. I was locked up for like 4 months. It got dismissed. But that little 4 months was literally when I was like, I'm about to pursue this shit for real. Yeah. Like, because I was out.
You're running out of chances.
And I had listened to everything, and I kind of was just like, damn, like, everything is, like, right in front of me. The homie got the studio, and then, like, I can get the beats, you know what I mean? And I just started linking with producers and, like, just kind of started building my catalog. And then, shit, pretty much... I had, like, entered some contests, it was, like, Heat Seekers on Hot New Hip Hop.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, one of the songs that I had put on there did really well. And then I went to L.A. to meet, like, one of the owners of Hot New Hip Hop, Sorrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he was like, man, I like your music.
Damn, back then, huh?
Yeah, and they supported my first mixtape. That's how kind of, like, my base kind of built.
Yeah.
You know, I got a base because I had, like, blogs, major blogs that was promoting my early shit. So,
right.
But I think it was just a testament to the music, you know? Like, they was really fucking with the music.
Yeah. So you got 2012?
2010.
Oh, so that's Drake. That's Drake bubbling. And I hate to bring up comparison, but the singing and the rapping.
Yeah.
You know, so they was like, yeah, this is...
For sure. Like, and you know, it's even the crazy thing about that, like... What the fuck had, so even with the singing and rapping shit, like, I remember, the first time my mom had put me on to Lauryn Hill.
Mm.
I thought Lauryn Hill was a group the whole time. I thought one sang, one played the music, one rap, but I thought they was a group.
Oh, shit.
And, So I'm like, wait, so you can sing and rap? You can do both? She was like, yeah, if you can do it. So I could sing before I could rap. Mm. You know, so I just, my mom and my auntie still want me to sing and shit all the time. Sing certain songs, Jamie Foxx, shit, little shit. Yeah. And so, like, I could sing before I could do the rap shit, but I always wanted to rap. My mom rapped, and I just love reciting, like, Pac. Mm-hmm. And I could learn songs fast, you know. And my mom was like, you got a good rapping voice. You know, your voice sound good.
Yeah.
And she kind of planted that seed early on. But, like, I remember hearing that about Lauryn Hill. I was like, if I did music, that's what I would want to do. Mm. Like, because I know I could sing and I know I can rap. You know, in my mind, I'm like, I know I can rap. You know, I just got to think of some shit to rap. You know what I mean? In my mind. But fast forward to, you know, of course, coming out. I did the rapping shit, but I was, like, singing my hooks and, like, the background shit. I didn't even know if I really wanted to do the singing shit. I just knew I could do it.
Why, though? Did you feel like, were you not confident in it?
Nah, it was just...
Because that wasn't the popular thing back then.
It wasn't. It wasn't, but it was just, like, I was selling myself short.
Okay.
It was just, like, man, a lot of the shit early on was just, like, man, I could do... In my mind, I was just, like, I could do so much with my music, my versatility. I want to do much more as an artist, you know what I mean? And that's when I kind of started focusing on that, the music. Like, Memories of the Future was probably the time where I was like, all right, I'm accepting it. I was recording full-blown R&B songs, but not putting them out, because it was just like, nah, you know what I mean? It's like, nah, hell nah. But, I mean, that was around the time when Weeknd came, and I was like, see, damn. You know, I would be doing, like, it's crazy. Yeah. Like, this is how he's moving and shit. Like, behind the scenes, that's exactly... In my mind, that's how I was picturing it. Like, but that shit is crazy though. That was like the introduction. That's kind of how I kind of started like getting my feet wet.
Yeah, it's a whole different world now, man. That's like do you have any advice for somebody just starting music now? Because they don't got it's so saturated, bro.
It's so saturated. But
Linkin Bio. That's everybody's best marketing scheme.
Right.
You feel me?
You know what? I would say, because I'm an up and coming artist myself still, you know. But I would say to anybody, man, research. Mm. Study. Don't be in a rush, man. Like,
don't put out your first shit.
Nah. See, like, and I, you know, that's the thing. Like, sometimes it's good to judge yourself against your last work, but you also want to judge yourself to the better artists that are out.
Yeah.
Like, I ain't never, like, don't get me wrong. Like, I think the city has amazing talent. I think they're, I do think there are dope artists, but I don't never be wanting to be on no top 10 list. Leave me off any list. I don't care about no list, bro. I really don't. I have never looked at an artist in the city like, oh, yeah, I'm...
Are you talking about locally?
Yeah, locally. Yeah. Like, no, nigga, I don't do that shit. Yeah, like, when I see lists, bro, like, it's love, but, like, bro, what are y'all talking about?
Yeah, it's like this is what I compare it to. It's like, you think you're the hottest in the city, that's like being captain of the JV team. Like, bro, you... Yeah, but you're captain, but you're still on JV.
It hurts, bro. It really hurts.
Yeah.
Like, the standard is so low.
I know. And
it's low.
We're getting in. You know what? And that brings me to a line that I wanted to bring up, a line that you had in the Blue Flame interlude. You said, fuck that local shit. I'm busting out the scene.
Yeah.
I wanted to jump through the screen and dab you up, bro. Because I'm the same way. Like,
bruh.
Like since I've been doing this show, and respect to everybody, but, like, yo, this show, like... Like, I can only, out of Vegas, it's only the cream of the crop. You know what I'm saying?
It's only the cream of the crop.
Because I can't, if the local rappers and local artists, they play your role. 100%.
For sure.
And I'll have some people up here because my partners, but like, other than that, man, I'm trying to make this show, you know, 100%. I'm trying to be Breakfast Club. I'm trying to do some 100%. Shit like that. Like, that's where my mind is. So, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Yeah. When you said that, I was like, yes.
For sure, bro. I would say content is king, consistency, you know. But, like, and stay true to yourself at the end of the day. I feel like a lot of times I've made the mistake of misinterpreting inspiration and influence because I do think there's a difference between the two. And a lot of times... You know, like, if I see somebody doing something I can get inspired by it and be inspired to do what I do. Like, I'm not going, like, damn, I should be doing that.
Right.
Like, I'm not that. Like, that's influence. You're being influenced to do something you probably weren't going to do. Like, even with, like, basketball. I was playing basketball early on, but I was influenced to play basketball because I wanted to do it because my cousin was doing it, and I did it so long enough to where I got a little good at it. You know what I mean? But ultimately, music was right there in front of me. Yeah. You know what I mean? The whole time, and I ended up falling back into it later on in life. But that is, and it's something that spoke to me. It's like, so I say, stay true to self, no matter what you do.
It's so easy to fall into that as artists.
Easy.
Like, oh, that's working. You know what I'm saying?
Easy.
But it's working for him. It's
Exactly. And even how somebody blows up, they just like, oh, I'm gonna do that. It's like, bro, that's not how it works. It really is not how it works. You're literally taken away from yourself, your highest, you know, the highest version of yourself, you know, right now. You know,
There's
I got a
blueprint to it.
For sure. There's really no blueprint. There's no rules. And I'm just grasping that now. It took this long to really understand that. Damn, man, like I've been creating from a safe place. Like, even like speaking to like, I got a lot of shit to talk about, but I've always like, I'ma hold off on the prison shit or the storytelling about certain details or certain instances about my life for the album or, you know, for this, for that, when it's just like, nah, talk about it now, bro. You don't even know if you're going to be living next year.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, and that's why I even like the podcast. It was like, you don't even know what the 2021 holds, you know, but you want anything about you, you want it to come from the horse's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Want no misconceptions or anything like that, but
that's great advice, bro. That's great advice.
Yeah,
all you don't and stop putting out your first shit. God
yeah, man,
damn.
Take time to refine, man.
Yeah,
it takes time, man.
Bro, motherfuckers put out their first shit, think it's the hottest shit walking, man. Like that, damn.
It is good to compare, you know. Like I said to your but that's how kind of I operate now.
Yeah.
Now, like, don't get me wrong, sound quality production. I'm always going to compare that to the top niggas in the game.
You have to.
Got to, for sure. Yeah. Is it hitting the same? Yeah. Like, is the mix clean, you know? But other than that, like, as far as the rapping and, you know, my last body of work, I'm always trying to top that. I'm always trying to, you know.
You're only as good as the last thing you did.
For sure.
Man, but that's one thing that really stands out to me about your music is it's just, it checks everything, you know, you check all the boxes. But the production is just like, you know, like your choice in beats, the attention to detail that I know, you know, that I look for, you know, because, you know, I'm picky
right.
What goes into my brain. You feel me? I had to start doing that for myself. But the production, bro, like what is your like approach to?
I think my earlier stuff was like just rap on anything I like, which I still do, don't get it twisted, but more it's like for this last body of work that I put out, I was getting a lot of beats, but I knew what I wanted to do to deliver with this body of work. So a lot of beats that I was getting that were fire, I had to put them to the, like, this shit hard, but this is like some trap influence. It's cool.
You can hear the today type shit.
That, and it would go against the soulful vibe that I'm trying to. I'm not even paying attention to this. If it doesn't fit what I'm trying to convey sonically, then I'm not even entertaining it.
Right.
I'll come back to it when I feel like that. I'm working towards a sound that fits those sonics. But I've always. I didn't know I was co-producing a lot of my shit early on, but I would always bring the sample and be like, yo, chop this. I want it BPM. And then like, okay, yeah, I want it 85. Or I want it 80 BPM.
Yeah.
And then, throw some. I've always done that. It's been very rarely that I, like, I mean, aside from like my in-house cats that I work with, Reezy, Alex,
you work with DG
Neo,
too, right? David.
Who?
Are you in the studio with David?
D. Grants?
Yeah.
D. Grants, yeah, for sure.
That's my dog.
You know, I've been knowing D. Grants. Like, I've been sending, he was one of the initial producers that I was sending my first songs to type shit.
Oh, way back in the day?
Yeah, way back in the day. Like, damn. He'll tell you, like, and I've gotten a few beats from D, but I never, from David Grants, mm-hmm. but I never, laid music on it and put it out.
Mm-hmm.
Never did that. Never. But
not yet.
But he's working on a project. We I told him I'd get something on there.
Yeah,
so,
that's my dog, sure, man. I seen he was in the video. I was like, is that David in there?
Yeah. Wait, who you talking about? He was in the video. Oh yeah. He was in the vlog. Yeah. Yeah, the vlog.
I seen his little ponytail. I was like, I didn't know they worked together. I was like,
No, I've been knowing D. Grants for a minute. Like, he's an engineer out here I really fuck with. I trust Reezy, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But, like a lot of this shit now is, from a technical standpoint, now I've been actually making beats.
Oh,
like, that was this last year. That was one of the things that I wanted to tap into this year that I got,
That's dope. I love it when artists can make the music and do it because it makes it so much. It just matches, like, you know what I mean? Especially... That you just said, like, you hear a sample and then your brain already knows what to do with it.
Right.
So you're already trained.
I've always been that way. I've always been super into production.
Mm.
Like, man.
It's so important, bro.
So important.
Bro,
I can listen to, bro, on the way here, instrumentals.
Yeah.
Like, I listen to beats all the time, bro. Like, that's how a lot of music is written. A lot of shit don't get written in the studio. It do because I got a studio at the house, but... Man, a lot of that shit gets done in a car. A lot of that shit gets done.
Yeah, I think I'm a rapper when I'm in a car too. Oh God, I do.
Nah, for real, bro. You'll take the long way home just
for
to,
real,
you know what I mean?
To finish
you don't
this
even
want to
get
song.
Out the car, all that. And I feel that way about beats, so I just music in general, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, the production but it's also your choice of beats, bro. It's just the what you're able to really go crazy on is like, it's just, you know, like you said, that soulful, the music, it's music.
Right,
it's
right.
not just a beat. It's
right.
not just like, you know,
right.
that bullshit. How do you just not get into that though? Like, you know what I mean?
Yo, you know, I don't.
That shit don't even inspire you.
Like, what you mean?
Just like, you know, everything's going on today. Like the fucking music, the bullshit ass music going on today.
I mean, don't get me wrong. There's some hot spots, you know, I feel like Lil Baby, like, I feel like he can really rap.
Oh, for sure.
He can really rap. He's snapping over all these niggas mm-hmm. to me. I'm talking about the new Gunna can rap too. I know, you know, he got them joints that kind of...
I don't be understanding what he's saying.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what's so crazy? I'm going to be honest. It took me a minute, and then I started like, I like how he distorts his shit. He purposely does that.
Mm-hmm.
He purposely distorts his shit, you know what I mean? Like I was playing some shit for a shorty, and like on the first couple listens, she wasn't catching none of this shit. But I was like breaking it down. She was like, okay, I hear it.
You're like,
but that's doing too much. But I was like, I like it. I like that. I like that aspect of it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a code that I gotta crack. Like, what does he say?
Okay.
Okay.
From that perspective,
that's kind of a little slick. All right. You know, I like that. And that's kind of where I found the beauty in Thugger shit. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, okay, he be saying some shit, but, you know, not everything's gonna be for me, though.
Yeah,
you
nah.
know what I mean?
See, I've learned to appreciate different artists that I used to, like, just cancel, like, not even give a chance.
No, 100. I used to be the same way. I would never listen to, like, I wouldn't even give Gunna a chance 2 years ago. You know what I mean?
Right,
I wouldn't even give Cat. I brought those. But, like, my go-tos is, like, Nip.
Right.
K-Dot, Cole, you know, like...
I hear it, bro. Bro, I hear it. I hear Cole in your music. It's crazy.
Yeah, Cole's probably my... He's been my favorite for a minute. I probably ran into Cole the most out of everybody.
For real?
Yeah. I ran into Cole, like, 3 times.
Really?
Yeah.
And what is it, like, conversation or what?
Nah, I mean, the last time I ran into him was probably the most convo out of all the times. But, man, it was just like...
I kicked
myself in the ass for that. So I ran into him. The first time I ran into Cole was, I got the picture with that. That was at the Gorge in Seattle. I was fresh out, but like my cousins had like these backstage passes And it was, you know, yeah. I was doing my music, so they was like, man, you come down, you could probably, you know, mm-hmm. you know, I was like, all right, let's get it. So,
yeah, yeah.
But
what was that? What year was that? What,
this was 2010, 2011. This was like the he had
that Simba song in what was that? With the basketball on
this
the
like 2011.
Cover? Oh no.
2011. 2011. This is like a year after I was out. Nah, he had an album?
Not Forest Hills Drive.
No, hell nah. No, that was way later. Yeah, but yeah. No, he had the warm up. Friday Night Lights
Friday
was
Night
out.
Lights. Yeah, yeah.
What else did he have? He had In the Morning was out. Was hot.
Okay.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So the route was around that time. Okay. But we just had a we just took a picture.
Okay.
And then the second time I seen him, it was kind of the same situation, but it wasn't as terrible as the third, because even in my song, I was like, the next time I see Cole, I'm going to rap for him.
Yeah.
My nigga, I seen this dude. Like, I had a show in Dunn. It's Dunn is D-U-N-N in North Carolina. Okay. I had a show out there. And when it was in Charlotte, but when I flew out there, you had to fly from a connecting flight to from Charlotte to Fayetteville.
Okay.
And then Dunn was like, 20 minutes or something.
Okay.
So the first thing that come to mind is J. Cole. I'm like, damn, I'm gonna finally see this nigga stomping grounds. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I get to the airport. The airport is small.
Okay.
I'm talking about like, damn, this shit is small. Like, and it has the welcome to Fayetteville shit. And it's it looks real army, you know, real army,
military
town, type town.
Yeah.
So it was cool. Did the show. It was like at a damn school type shit, you know, school stage. That's just where they had the venue. But it was cool. Went to some fans' house. They had like a basement. They like his brother, one of the brothers had like died. His brother has died, but he was a fan of my music type shit. Yeah, it was a dope little experience. But on the way back, I remember telling myself, like, that'd be crazy if I seen Cole. Nigga, I see Cole.
Where?
I'm talking about on the flight, and I'm sure I still got the pictures, but.
On the flight?
Bro.
You had a whole flight with him?
A whole flight from, this was May 2015, May 2015.
Bro, you dropped the ball,
this was Bourne
bro.
Center, around Bourne Center time.
Oh, God,
this
man.
Is, nigga, he was with this little light-skinned, it wasn't his girl, I think it was one of his managers, because she's still with Dreamville, the team.
Mm-hmm.
I think her name is Monique, and then he had this dude who's like a bodyguard who still mess with him.
Mm-hmm.
But when they got on the plane, I was like, hold up. So I went to the back of the plane.
Yeah.
When I get on the plane, I can't find this nigga. I'm like, I know he got on this plane. He come out the bathroom.
Oh, shit.
And he come out the bathroom. He look at me. He's like, what's up? I'm like, what's good? And that was it. Like, he walked to the damn. Oh, he walked God. To the. He sat down. And He laid on the window. So I'm just like, damn. I'm not letting this nigga get to this next gate. I'm on his head, right? So we on the flight, bro. This was the worst turbulence I have ever been in. I don't know if he's been in other ones after this, but I guarantee you, he has to know. He woke up.
Uh-huh.
The nigga woke up.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, like, it was crazy. But so, like, that was the last time, and I had followed the nigga, like, to his gate, because it was a connecting flight from Fayetteville to Charlotte, and then from Charlotte, I think they went to L.A., but I followed him all the way to his gate, only to, like, his security was like, nah, bro. Like, and I was like, bro, let me just give me an email.
Yeah, yeah.
And he gave me an email, and I had, like, a little recorder. I was recording and shit. Yeah. Like, the email was wrong. Shit, I got some return to senders. It was just crazy, bro. It was crazy. But Cole is the artist that I ran into the most. Which I feel like, yo, those were your opportunities, bro. Like,
oh my God, dude.
Nah,
and that's
crazy,
that's the artist to be running into.
Nah, for sure.
God
for
damn.
Sure. For sure.
Well, I think for sure you still have the best years ahead of you, and I think you'll be able to. You keep talking, speaking that into existence, and bro, you're gonna be able to tell him that story to his face, bro.
That shit was crazy, and I got weird, like I got like. Pictures I don't even want to show you, but they're like creep pictures, like the nigga getting to his gate, you know what I mean?
Starstruck a little bit.
I was just like, I didn't think it would be, because it was just so crazy. I was just like in my head, like, what if I seen J. Cole in Fayetteville?
Yeah.
And he's on the plane, bro. It was a small little plane.
Oh,
it was
May. What are the odds,
bro? It was in May of 2015, bro, but it was just the craziest.
Do you beat yourself up about that a lot?
Nah, it's just a little dope little moment that I was just like, yeah, it was crazy.
Gosh, damn.
Yeah, he's had a Dreamville hoodie on, some Jordan shorts.
Yeah.
And he had like a little fro. type shit. You know what I mean? In a rolly. Just getting to his gate. You know what I mean?
Damn, yeah, dog. Was crazy. That's crazy, bro.
Yeah, it was crazy, man.
Damn. Well, I don't know, man. I hear that though. Like in your music is Cole and Drake for sure. And do you still get those comparisons a lot? And does that bother you or not?
Nah, I mean I haven't got a Drake comparison since my first mixtape. Yeah, bro.
It sounds like I forget what song it is, but it's there, bro. It's there for sure. Not like the Drake now. I don't think.
Right.
But like the Thank Me Later Drake, you know. A little bit more, but it's there, bro. Like you can hold your weight in with them. To me, you know.
I get that. Like I get that. Like I think my thing was always like when I hear. See, tone is different from like me and Drake got similar tones.
Mm-hmm.
We got similar tones, so that comparison is. I understood the comparison, but when I hear songs like. I don't know if you heard of my song called Need Me Some, but like, I can't think of a Drake song that he has that's Need Me Some. Like,
okay. That's
just me. It's my opinion.
Yeah,
like, when I hear Need Me Some with the Michael Jackson sample, I don't hear, like, there's not a record in his catalog that I could align that with. So mm-hmm. when people say, like, the Draco, I'm like, well, what song? Like, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I would like to know, like, so I'm like, okay, I can see tone or I can see like maybe tempo, flow, you know. But like I'm on it like laser beam, you know what I mean? Like I'm very conscious of how I create, you know what I mean? Even if a note sounds like it's similar, I'm like, oh, nah, we're not using that. Mm. Like I'm very, very conscious. So like when I hear the comparison, I'll be more so like, in what way, you know what I mean? Mm. But when people say you're on that level or when people say, you know, on my first mixtape, like they're like, oh, this is my favorite artist.
Mm-hmm.
Those were like confirmations, like, okay, cool, then this is what I should have been doing. Like for them, it's not like, oh, he's a dope artist. It's like, oh, this is my favorite artist.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, I think the Drake comparison really comes just with this, the rapping and singing, but doing it well.
Doing it well, yeah, exactly.
And balanced. Like
100%.
The song, like the music is, you balance it because you can, 1,000. You know what I'm saying?
It's and I get that 100%.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah. But let's switch gears, man. I want to talk to you about your relationship with Dizzy Wright and coming out of Vegas. And,
for sure.
And he's, I mean, he's, I feel like you guys are real close.
Man,
and
you guys
been together for a long time.
That's bro, man.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of Dizzy. I've always been proud of Dizzy. You know, with everything, the store, the strands, you know, and you know, you can, if you, I'll be happy for anybody making it out the city and representing a good light. But when it's a good motherfucker, you're even more happy. You know, you're more just, you know, you're heaping more praise on them because you know they're good people. You know what I mean? You know, our relationship has always been solid. It's always been a genuine relationship. He's always.
How'd you guys link up?
Really, it was just, how do we link up? We just knew mutuals.
Okay.
We knew mutuals, and, like, it got to a point. I feel like it just got to a point where, I don't know. Like, I remember, when was this, 2014? Like, I just remember, like, right after he was on MTV Jams, I was on MTV Jams.
Mm.
Then I had, like, a new joint on 106. It just got to a point where, I don't know, you'd have to ask him when was the moment, you know, he reached out. But I remember he reached out and just was on some, yo, bro, we got to get up. We got to get it in type shit.
Yeah.
But it's been, he's known this person that has been in his ear. I know this guy who's been in my ear.
Right,
we just never locked in. Just like fire.
Yeah.
You know, when it's finally just locked in type shit.
You guys are really different artists, too. So it's dope to see you guys on the same record, you know, especially that one with Tech N9ne. That's hard. Were you stoked about that? Like getting to be able to be on the same song as Tech N9ne?
You know, so my mom loved Tech N9ne. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's how I even knew about Tech N9ne type shit. Like, Tech N9ne been around for years, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and he's been an underground legend for years. Like, I've always looked at his business acumen and how he moved and, you know.
People don't talk about Tech N9ne enough on the business end.
But they really don't. Mm-hmm. But he's always been somebody that I looked at, like, excuse me, like, yeah. He's a, if I could be a millionaire and play low key and drop a hit on the radio when I want to, and that's how I would do it. Like that, you know, I've always looked at the in his independent shit. Like, yeah, that's he do it the way I would want to do it. So it was just definitely something I check off the
Off did the you get list. To meet him? Dope.
Nah, I didn't. Oh, yeah. I didn't. Yeah. But I remember after I laid the hook. When I heard the beat, I just laid the hook. I know Dizzy started fucking with it, and he was like, man, I'm about to throw Tech N9ne on it. I'm that'd be dope, you know what I mean? But and he followed through with it type shit, so it wasn't.
That's hard, bro. That's a good look for the city, too, man.
For sure.
From your angle, like, how do you see Dizzy Wright's influence for Vegas and him being, you know, the one that's might have garnished the most attention? And because I'm sure you hear it all the bullshit. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't get the support or whoop-de-woo, you know, like.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing I'll say about. I think. Well, as it pertains to Dizzy, I think he's maxed out on what he can do. Like, unless he gets a hit record. I mean, because I feel like that's the only thing that hasn't been done in Vegas. That's the one thing that I feel like people haven't really realized. Like, I think, you know, the freshman shit was dope. Mm-hmm. And he tours and he's
a career.
He's built a base that he, you know. But with that, he's transitioned. He's diversified his portfolio. He's got a store now. He got Strands. Burna's doing the same thing. Yeah. There's a multitude of other artists who are on that level.
Same thing.
Exactly, in its own way. So, I mean, he's up. He's doing good. Right. I don't know what else. You know, I think, you know, now, if he had hit records, I think that would speak to influence as far as Vegas in the scene because, like, you know, I say this, and I've said this in certain circles, but I haven't really, you know, I've never thought Vegas had a music scene. Never. And I'm talking about, I've been to Atlanta, I've been to L.A. Like, when I drive to L.A., the first thing you hear is, like, R.J. Or you hear artists
people
from...
People playing their music.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, that's... You go to Atlanta, it's the same thing. I was hearing... When I went to Atlanta, I heard about Rich Homie Quan way before he was lit. Mm-hmm. But he was lit there, and every DJ was on board rocking with
him. The city got behind him.
And it's not only that, but it's just the scene. Like, okay, so Atlanta, they got, like, this thing called Coalition DJs. So you literally... They'll take your record. You basically present your song. You perform it for all the DJs in the city, all the hot DJs. You perform it for them. You host. You know, you get to know them. You network after that. You know, they play your stuff at Magic City, Follies, all throughout. Yeah. Like that is a scene. Yeah. That's something that supports a scene.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen here, and I'm not saying that the DJs have the power to change your life, but it would really be dope if when people come to Vegas, they get an idea, a sense of, even if it's three or four of the main artists or the artists you fuck with, whatever, it don't matter. Yeah. Typically, it's the artists that they fuck with or artists that they push. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, like, just from a quality standpoint, you want to push, even if you don't know this artist, but you know he's dope, you should be playing one of two of his joints.
Yeah.
This artist right here, she's cold. Mm-hmm. She got a joint you really rock with, play it. You know what I mean? Like at your functions or, you know, I just think that there in these different cities, there's actual, you know, there's labels. Yeah. There's multimedia companies.
Right.
There's stuff like this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We expanding. It's dope and it's great to see. That's why I want to be a part of it, help build. But we don't have things to speak to a scene. We got... When we think about the scene, you think about the strip. Now, that's the thing we have in our favor is that we have a globe, you know, the globe knows about Vegas, the scene, the strip, but there's no face to the music because we don't got no hits.
Right.
You know, ain't nobody, you ain't dictating nothing because you're not moving nothing on the strip.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you're not performing in the strip like Lil Baby or Dre's and you from here, that's when you know it's lit. That's when they know, like, oh, it's really a scene here. There's really artists that's really making some moves.
Yeah.
That's when you'll start seeing a real shift on the influence, but, you know, we did have stuff like Tuesday Blend. We did have stuff, you know, but the pandemic really, but even before the pandemic, like the stuff downtown, the Beauty Bar, they took that away.
Yeah.
You know, this is a lot of stuff that in other cities, if you go to LA, there's 50 places you can perform.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Strip clubs and all that's all way
little,
different.
Little inner basement spots that's cold, little spots. So We don't have that here. We've never really had that here. We never had a scene. You know, we had, you know, Daddy Max. You have these little spots, you know what I mean? That shit's like karaoke.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Know, so we need the space to
100%
to do it. You know, we need the space. Sure. No, I agree 100%, bro. I think it's, you know, the people, as the non-artist people, the fans, this is new to us too. It's, we're just 100. We just don't know how to do it. We don't know how to you know, we don't, you know, we're used to going to the strip, to the clubs, you know, where they're playing the biggest record, or they got the biggest DJ. These big DJs ain't playing like, you know, the up and coming artists.
For
you know
sure,
what I mean?
For sure.
So that's what we're like accustomed to. So, you know, but we do need more spaces downtown and spaces around the city. And I think a lot of these DJs and stuff, you know, Vegas is like a gypsy town? Is that what you call it? But a lot of people from out of town.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? So they're not attached to us. You know what I'm saying?
100%.
So I think we're getting there. I mean, we're growing. But I feel you, bro. And that goes back to what you said about the local shit. Like, that's cool. Like, the local shop, I got love for everybody in the city. But, bro, that's not what I'm on, really. You
it's
know what I'm saying?
It.
I'm
not it.
Like, you had a crab in a bucket.
100%. Yeah. That's what I see when I be seeing that. It's like, bro, who that really, really is really talented, really just looking at the land. And you know, that's one thing I will say that I need to be more, just more aware of. Is just who is, you know, just on, because I know there's a whole bunch of new artists in the city.
Mm-hmm.
It is good to keep an ear to the street and, you know, to see, but again, bro, like I feel like, bro, if it hasn't made it, like, it's not hard to sponsor something.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not hard to sponsor, a dope video that you got, you know?
Yeah, right.
$50, you can make it to on my timeline, know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, it's not hard. Are you doing that?
Yeah.
Minimally, that's like the minimum, you know? But I'm just like, again, speaking to the consistency, and I'm only speaking from, these are things that I need to do as well as an up-and-coming artist, but like, even coming out the gate, I wasn't thinking locally. Like, I wanted to know who was dope just because I want to know who was dope. You know what I mean? And then when I started, like, tapping in, I'm like, oh, shit. Like, nigga, that's Devin. I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, and it's the same when niggas be, like, I've gotten the same responses from niggas that know me. They're like, oh, shit, Strokes, Euros, Drewski, whatever. Yeah. Like, I had a couple names before this. So, like, they're like, oh, I didn't even know you.
Yeah.
You know, but, like, that's just, you know, I've never been one to be, like, I guess for me, I just understood the game. I understand. I've seen cities that kind of cater to a scene, to a music scene, to artists, cater to the up-and-coming artists. They have things in place to let, you know, creatives flourish. They have things on a weekly basis. Coach K, like, he has a thing, like, every...
Is that who you be talking about?
Yeah, Coach K.
Oh, okay.
You know, Coach K is co-owner of QC.
Yeah, I know he is.
You know, Coach is... But, like, even when he has, like, little gatherings where he got people that come up to him, the DJs and people who keep an ear out for all the new artists.
Right, right.
Like, there's just so many different little functions and little creative hubs and things like that in these cities. And that's why they have such successful music scenes. And that's New York as well.
Yeah.
They got labels. They got multimedia. Everything is in New York if you want to hit the circuit. You know what I mean? Spotify. All of that is in New York, and that's when these labels, they got to take the artists on the run. They go to New York. They go to Atlanta. They go to the L.A. because they have things there to cater to it. So once we start expanding and once we start thinking outside the box and raising our standards and really, you know what I mean? I truly feel like, you know, we'll start seeing artists get a lot further and flourish, but really... Mm-hmm. We making magic with nothing, you know?
Yeah.
So people who do make noise, like when you see people make, like Dizzy make they, it's tough, bro. You got to think about artists that try to come here in general. Like, there's a lot of artists that come to the city that don't pack this motherfucker. Like, if you're not doing T-Mobile, you know.
Brooklyn Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you're not doing those two venues, and it's not a lot of artists that can just come here, and artists that be on the radio. It's not artists that can just really come here and pack those out unless you got, like, you know, I mean, I've seen artists come out here and it don't be packed like that.
Yeah.
And I just say that it speaks to Vegas, the type of city it is. It's a lot going on. You know, you're competing with a lot in one spot.
On a Friday night.
On a Friday night. So, like, the promotion got to be A1. You know, it gotta be, everything gotta be A1. Like, and it ain't just on the promoters, it ain't just on the DJs, it ain't just on the artists, it ain't just on, but these are things that we definitely gotta like look at and analyze and know, like moving forward, man, we gotta, you know,
this. Yeah, we're definitely a different kind of city.
For sure, you know. For sure, bro.
But why, so why have you chosen to stay here? Why haven't you moved to LA, New York, where opportunities might be more accessible?
I mean, because at the end of the day, well, I'll say this. I plan on definitely moving around a lot more because it's needed. You can't just be, you can't just.
Dizzy taught us that,
you can't, can't just be here, you know what I mean? But I would never move to these cities, you know, because that's not really like.
That's not what you need. You just need to go there.
Yeah, you just need to go there and and network and build ties and tap in. You know, just tap in with different people. Go out there and see how they work in the studios. You know, go to their spots. Go to their hot spots. Meet the DJs. You know, play your music for certain different for different artists, different producers, and just get just get out there. You know, just get out there. But like, and I plan on doing a lot of that. You know. But yeah.
Do you have a manager? Have you ever had a manager?
Nah. I mean, the closest thing that I had a manager is Dame.
Shout out Dame.
Dame. But that's a close friend of mine. But like, nah, I've never signed actual paperwork. Nah, because
he's more of an advisor kind of deal.
Yeah. Like, you know, he but even Coach though. Coach.
How did you get tied in with Coach K? Because that's like
Coach is like my mentor. I could text Coach right now. Like Coach has been my mentor probably for like the last couple years.
See, when you mentioned him a lot in the raps, and and I'm like, is he talking about Coach K? Because I only know one Coach. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, I've studied Coach K because I've been on the management side and behind the scenes side for doing some some other shit, and Coach K and P, and they've definitely. QC, when Migos came out, QC was a thing, and they were really branding the fuck out of QC. Mm-hmm. I was like, yo, who the fuck are these dudes, man?
I've seen from the Migos coming. I remember they got OG Macko, Rich the Kid was over there.
Yeah.
I remember all of that, like the whole, I was at South by Southwest with Coach K. But funny thing is, Coach K been hearing about my voice, or not my voice, but he been hearing about my name since like my second mixtape, because I had a Doe. It's my partner. Shout out Doe, wherever you at. You know, he was just a street nigga investing some paper in me. You know, advising me on shit and kind of get me in rooms and shit.
Yeah.
And he was trying to get my music to Coach K. And he was telling me, man, I'm telling you, Coach is the dude. Just like, man, come on, man. Like, and he just like, bro, I'm telling you, like, man, if Coach just hear you, bro, you out of here.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, man, all right. So, but Coach was just doing his own thing at the time. Fast forward, Battles, my nigga Battles. There was a show in Indiana, and Coach showed up to the show. Mm. He showed up to the show and
like unannounced.
Unannounced. We were just but leading up to that though, I had a couple conversations with Coach. But when we talked, he pretty much just told me like, bro, I've been hearing about you for so long.
Yeah.
Finally, you know, having a conversation with you, I want to meet. Whatever. We met, and we've always been cool ever since. Every year has been like, this might have been the second year, but every year, you know, he always fly me to L.A., get a studio, I got to play my shit, you know, have some friends in type shit.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's just been a fan. He's always been a fan. He hit me randomly like, bro, he hit me with a bar just like, yo, man, you nice. That's just been a relationship, and it's just always grown from there.
That's beautiful, man. Well, then, in these kinds of people, I know, I'm sure some labels have approached you.
Yeah.
What's the deal, bro? Come on, man.
Man.
Nah.
It's simple as this. A lot of times you hear people like, oh, you know, why? You know, I think that's the first thing. I mean, I think that's what my mom said, too. Like, when she found out who Coach K was, she was like, well, what's the deal?
Like, what's it doing for you?
Like, I'm just like, that's not how it works.
Right, man. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just not how it works.
Like, the relationships and all that, you know? Like
that on top of, like, when, you know, I think the gift and the curse for me has been like, I'm like I said with the research, the study, bro. I did a lot of research on independent and what a contract is, what a label is, you know, what exactly, what a situation and I've never, to be honest, I'll just say it is like this. I've never built the leverage up to get the deal that I want.
Right, right.
I've been in, like, bro, I really, that's why I be like, I want people to raise their standards because I really wish they understood how easy it is to get a deal. Mm. It's not hard to sign. It's hard to get the deal that you want.
Right,
it's hard
to
get a good deal. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not hard to go in these offices and sign your likeliness away if you're talented.
Yeah.
They'll sign you just to bind you in contracts so nobody else can get you. That's nothing for them. You know what I mean? So I've been in meetings, you know. My last meeting was, I wouldn't say it was an official meeting, but it was with official A&Rs at Motown, you know, playing music, you know. Again, like...
You had a bar about that, too. I'm not dancing on no table.
You know what I mean? And again, like, my thing is this. Like, again, I will always be honest about myself. I could look in the mirror and know where I need to improve on, you know.
Yeah.
I need to put myself out there more. I got a lot of songs that got... a lot of views that don't have videos. You know, I got a lot of shit. I got like seven projects out, and you can count on one hand how many videos I got. It's not good. You know what I mean? That's not gonna help my. That doesn't create awareness for who Euros is.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Especially for my bigger records. So, you know, there's a lot of things that I haven't done on the artist side. But just from a label side, like if I'm in a room and I'm playing music, let's cut the bullshit. Y'all know what y'all getting. Y'all know the level.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all know that I would write records for other artists.
Right.
Y'all know I co-produce. So, but that's like, they're not gonna, that's not how it is. It's like, they're gonna offer me because I don't have a viral song or because I don't have a hit or because I don't have that momentum builder, that record that looks promising.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they're gonna offer me the standard situation.
And for me, bullshit, yeah.
Yeah, that's just, it's not, when you look at it, it's just not the best situation, but it'll look good. It'll look good and you'll be able to say you're signed.
Yeah, but you know, you're doing the right thing. I mean, in 2020, we hear horror stories all the time about you know, label deals, and still to this day. And you know, the artists like, you know, Jay-Z and there's a plethora of different artists that give game about it, and you know, so I mean, I figured that's, you know, you just, you know, you building the leverage, you know what I mean, to partner with somebody.
That's the plan. This top of 2021, I plan to get with a manager, you know, make that decision, make that official.
Has Coach K ever, you guys ever had that conversation?
Yeah. For sure. And I'm gonna be honest, I would run it by Coach K, who, no matter who it is, just be out of respect, you know what I mean?
I would
definitely run it by him, like whether I was rocking with Dame or, you know, I would definitely run it by Coach K just because he's approached me on that level before. So yeah, I mean, getting an entertainment lawyer,
all of these things are important.
Yep. You know what I mean? He actually hit me about that like a couple months ago. Like, bro, you need...
Where do you even find one of those, though?
It's not hard. It's you know, Twitter.
Oh, okay.
Twitter. Yeah, you know, entertainment law. You're like, the top four people will pop up.
Yeah.
Carl's a good one. Like, there's a couple of them that are good, you know. But those are the things that you need when you're really, especially if you're going to sign a contract.
Yeah,
and if you're going to sign a contract and you got some situations on the table. Mm. You're gonna have to. I've dealt with entertainment lawyers before on a, like I've Scott dude in New York earlier on. He would handle like a lot of my paperwork. You know what I mean? I would just pay him. He'd either get paid from the deal that I were making, or I just pay him flat rate, whatever we decide. But I think a lot of times artists get intimidated. You know what I mean? By the thought of, but it's a conversation to have. Nine times out of 10, if they see potential in you, they want to work with you. They want to come across a diamond in the rough. You know what I mean? And because they know what they can bargain, they know what they can negotiate.
That's important, bro.
So
having your paperwork right is important.
For sure. You don't want to work backwards.
Damn. So So what does 2021 have in store for you dropping it? Okay, hold on. Let me. You dropping a new album in January?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, listen, I'm the deluxe to the project I just dropped. I'm dropping like 5 new songs.
Okay.
So I'm about to do that. I was gonna do that. I was trying to get that shit before the end of the year.
Okay.
I couldn't do it, so I'm gonna just drop it probably the first week of January. It's crazy because I got an R&B project I've been working on, and then I got an album I've been working on. And the last time I did this, I ended up meshing it together. That's like yeah. for 2 birds, 1 stone. So it's
oh,
like,
yep, yep.
So who knows what happens, but so much content. Isolated is the brand.
Yeah. I love it.
That's going to be, I brought some stuff too, but that's just expanding on that. I'm wrapping up my first collection. Probably the end of January.
Okay.
Got some really dope pieces. So
why do you put out projects and not singles, given the landscape of music today?
But see, you caught on to that. Like that's kind of what I'm on. That's kind of what is that. That's why I even like when I said the R&B and I was about to just break it down and just start just dropping records. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even Dizzy, you know, he's on that. He's like, fuck it, I'm about to just. And that's and honestly, that's. The only reason I dropped Choices, Chances, Changes was because I didn't want 2020 to go by and I didn't have a body of work that represented what I was going through. The you know, I think it was 1 year, 2016, where I didn't drop nothing. I don't know, it was 1 year, but I hate that it skips. Like, I don't never like it to be a year that I don't drop a body of work, even if it's 5 songs, an EP or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just, this year was tough. This year was tough because the body of work that I was creating in the beginning of the year changed drastically with the Kobe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just like the COVID.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like the music, and there was more like hits and R&B joints on there. I stripped all of that. Nah, I didn't. It just those records didn't even feel meaningful to me. It was just like they got to play the cut.
Yeah.
And I just focused on a more just all the records that were on that project felt. And that's why like these extra 5 songs, I'm kind of giving you a bit more of the other shit.
Okay,
so
okay.
Because I've deprived them of that initially.
It's,
so.
Bro, it's such a beautiful project, man. Such a beautiful project.
Appreciate it. The
cover art too. I love the cover art. You're a professional, bro. You know what I'm saying? That's why you're a professional, dog.
I appreciate
it. But the music though, like I literally like that's the best way I can describe it, bro. It's like it's beautiful, bro. The music, like it's just so good, bro. It's so well balanced. But
that's love.
But
appreciate it for real.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's like art. Not everybody can drop projects, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like they can't. Right. Oh, we don't want to hear that bullshit for an hour, you know what I mean?
Bro.
So
you know, I've even some of my favorite, like some of the GOATs, bro, have I hate to say it, but it kind of exposed themselves, you know, through the years, like just not being able to evolve and kind of not. And I'm not saying you have to, you gotta do what's everybody's doing. But there is something to be said. You want to be aware of what is hot.
Yeah.
You know, you don't got to know to do it, but just to either stay away from it or just be like, okay, let me deconstruct it. Let me break it down and see what people do like about it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, because you can sound real dated, you know what I mean, if you don't know what's going on, you know what I mean? And some of my favorites, they're still putting out music today.
Yeah.
And it's terrible, like, from a listener's perspective, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It already sucks that I'm an artist. I've already robbed myself of enjoying music from just listening to it that way. I'm always picking it apart, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, I bet you can't even listen to rap music like
that's
that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's why I be like, I don't even listen to artists that will... people would think, you know what I mean? Like, I don't listen to, bro, like, I listen to, like, Sade, SZA.
You listen to other like, different genres and shit? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, like, that's...
I've been getting into... Bro, I've always hated country music, but I've been getting into a little bit of country music.
Right,
bro. Yeah, man, I feel you though. The other genres, because I'm a hip hop. Like I've always loved.
Right.
The first music I had to beg my mom was to go buy Get Rich or Die Trying. You know, and I had to beg her for that shit, and she didn't want to buy that shit, of course. You know, but I've always I never really gave other genres a chance, but it's like refreshing, bro. The other genres,
for sure,
you know what I mean?
Sure.
For my ears, for sure. But damn, I think we should wrap this up, man. How long has it been? Damn, see,
that shit went by fast, okay.
Fucking fast as fuck, bro.
But we covered everything?
We didn't, bro, but an hour and 18 is enough. Okay. It's enough, bro. Okay. I got to have you back.
For sure.
And, know, this was super insightful, bro. I really appreciate you pulling up.
Man, I appreciate you having me, bro.
Yeah, man.
Truly.
Absolutely. I think the best years are ahead of you, man. Anything I could do to help, you know what I'm saying? I'm here,
I appreciate
bro.
It, man. Thank you. And thank you for putting me up on that 18. That shit was smooth. I might have to fuck with it. You might have started something. Hey.
You only got one kid. You start fucking with the 1800, you're going to have two pretty soon. For real.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
nah,
man.
But, yeah, come back, bro. Peace and love, man.
Man, appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Much love.
Oh, yeah. That was great, bro.
Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you having me, man. I didn't even know that the time was...